Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Why Don't I Just Get Started? And I am your host, Robert Farrell. It is Friday night, April 17th, 9:30 p.m. Not that that matters, because people listen at all different kinds of times, and that's fine, but it is Friday night. And I just finished turning in a paper. I am enrolled in an online master's degree course in U.S. history. The paper was due at 9 o'clock this evening, my time, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It was 4 minutes late, maybe 5 minutes late. I'm not sure. It might be five, but it was late. And I don't know if this is going to be a problem for me, if I'm going to lose points on the paper. I am already very concerned about these papers. Every week we have to turn in two papers. And what they are is they're called forum responses. And what that means is the teacher gives us questions, two questions, and we have to answer them. And we have to back up our answers with selections and references to our current reading or readings, and then write about them. The questions are not easy, and the professor is very difficult, very demanding, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I want to be very clear about that, because she might be listening. No, I don't think she is. I don't even think she knows I do with this radio show. No, but she is very difficult and very demanding. And this is not by any means an easy course. And when I say she's difficult and demanding, I don't mean personally. I like her. I've spoken to her once. She generally replies to my emails quickly. She offers a lot of good insights, but the class is just hard. It's just a hard class. It's a lot of work, first of all. It's an immense amount of work. I'm usually reading 300 pages a week. It is taking me into areas that I am not familiar with. And it is stretching me in ways that I have not been stretched in a long, long time. It's not pleasant. It's very painful. At the same time, and this is going to sound strange, I am enjoying it at a certain level. What I don't enjoy is the constancy of it. I don't enjoy the stress. I don't enjoy the fact that I don't quite yet know what I'm doing. But I enjoy what I'm reading. I enjoy what I'm learning. And I enjoy what this is producing in me. It reminds me of a Bible verse. And I'm sure I'm not going to quote it very well. But it's something to the effect of, now, no amount of suffering, no suffering, let me back up. Now, no suffering seems pleasant at the time, but it will produce good in you. Now, I didn't get that even close, but except the part that no suffering seems good at the time, but it can, if we allow it, produce good in us. It can strengthen us. It can make us different and better and stronger and even, if I may say, smarter. Now, what's interesting is that it is an intellectual journey I am on, but in some ways, it's not a lot different from a physical journey I was on when I was 18. When I was 18, I joined the California Conservation Corps. And that was demanding in a physical way. We were in a military-like setting. We were told when to eat, when to go to bed, when to get up, and it was usually dark. We were given uniforms and specific jobs, and some of it was meaningless and pointless, and some of it was interesting, and the whole experience was quite stretching for me as an 18-year-old. But probably the most powerful piece of it for me was when I got there, I don't know what I assumed. Being an optimist, I just assumed it would be fun and I'd get to travel, and I didn't really foresee any difficulties. I'm not the kind of person that does foresee difficulties, and to me, a generally optimistic outlook, but of course, the disadvantage of that is that I'm often unpleasantly surprised by the difficulties because they're so unanticipated. In this case, with the California Conservation Corps, what was happening was it was a lot of kids, lower income kids, a lot of them were pretty rough and young and immature. Most of them were 18. And there was a rough bunch of people there. And one of the things that the Corps would do was if you did not obey the rules or if you caused any problems, you were fired. But they called it terminated. That was the word they used. And when I started, there were probably a good 300-400 people there. By the time we graduated, there were maybe 50, maybe 50 to 100. There weren't that many. And what I remember was making a decision as I saw people getting terminated and as I was being stretched and pushed physically and as I was going through having to be with all these people all the time and rarely getting a moment to myself. But I made a decision, and the decision was this. I was going to graduate. I simply was. I was not going to get terminated. I was not going to do anything but graduate. And I did. Now, it's funny looking back. It was only 30 days long, but it felt like an eternity. It was really long. It was really hard. I'd never been in anything quite like that. And I remember for a few years after that experience ended, whenever I saw a movie that took place in a prison, I thought a lot about the California Conservation Corps. And that's not to say it was a bad experience. It was actually quite good and good for me. But it was difficult, difficult. And going through this master's program is very similar. Though it's not physical, it is, as I said, intellectual. I still have to make the same decision that I made at 18. And that decision is, I'm going to stick with this no matter how hard it is. Stephen Pressfield said in The War of Art that when you sign up for something like this, whether it's a formal signing up or a simple decision to move forward in your life, that you're signing up for hell. You're signing up for a diet of humiliation, rejection, self-doubt, even ridicule. And that's what I feel like. I'll give an example, and it leads to the whole topic of having a lay paper. As I said, we have these forum responses that are due, two a week, one on Tuesday, one on Friday. They're due by midnight Eastern Standard Time, which is 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I turned mine in at 9:04 or 9:05. And so it's the first time I've done a late paper. Well, it's not completely true. My papers were late the first week because I still hadn't figured out the system. I did a paper, the two responses last week, and I thought they were the best work I had done so far. But my professor did not think so, and she gave me the lowest grade I've gotten so far, other than the first week. My grade was an 83%. Now, in the master's program, you can't really have a lot of B's. You have to get A's. It's just expected. But I got, as I said, my lowest grade. And that was, it was humiliating. It was frustrating. I felt completely lost, as if I were literally lost, as if I were in another city. It felt like, at some level, that somebody had knocked me out, or I fell asleep, and when I woke up, I was in a completely different place, completely unfamiliar, and not even sure how to ask for help. Maybe even a completely different country. One of the things it says in my history readings is that history is a different country. The past is a different country. And I feel like I'm in a different country. I don't know my way around. I don't know the language. And literally, I don't know the language. I know the language of English, which is the language this course is being taught, but I don't know the academic language. And this was why my professor gave me a low grade. She said, my writing's good, but the structure of it is not valid for historical arguments. I need to change not so much what I'm writing, but the way I'm writing it. My professor also recommended two of my classmates, their work, and that I read their work in the forum responses. And I did, and I read some other stuff today, and I felt like, oh, I think I get what she's saying. So I worked today. I worked a lot. And in addition, I also had to deal with other things that came up that weren't part of my day and did cause me some problems. And I had to deal also with my own lack of time management and self-control. And I turned in this paper late by 4 or 5 minutes. Now, I don't know if the professor is going to mark me down for the paper. She might say, late is late, whether you're 5 minutes or 5 hours late, it's late. I don't know what she's going to do in this case. I also don't know if she's going to like what I wrote, if it's in the parameters she's looking for. And I don't know anything. All I can do now is hope that she likes it and that I got a better grade, and that if not, I'll figure it out next week. Now, here's the thing. It is Friday. I have a huge assignment due this week. I then have, or this weekend, and then I have another paper to write Tuesday and another paper to write next Friday. And there are other projects that are coming up, and there's one that I did, but she said I have to redo it. I have to work on that. I'm also in an online program for a class that I was told by my supervisor that I had to take. The class is fairly useless for me, and it's stressful, and it's causing me a loss of time, and it's completely unhelpful and uninteresting to me, but my boss said I had to take it. So that, in addition to everything else, is keeping me pretty busy. And my paper was late. What do I do? Well, here's the thing. Something happened today after I read my professor's comments on my last week's work. And at first I thought, okay, well, I'll just keep trying. And then I felt really, really discouraged. But then I took the suggestion she gave me, and I did some further reading, and I thought, oh, I think I get what she wants. But there was a point within all this time that I felt like giving up. Same as I did with the California Conservation Corps. There were points where I just felt like it was too hard. It wasn't what I wanted or expected. It was just too hard. And that's what I felt today. And I felt this a few times throughout the course of this course. I felt it a couple times where I just thought, this is too hard. I don't know how to do this. I'm not an academic writer. I'm not an historian. I'm not experienced in this. And it's causing problems for me. And there was, as I said, a point where I just thought, I don't know if I can do this. But then, here's the thing that happened. I imagined quitting. I imagined calling the school and saying, I'm sorry, I just can't do this. It's too much. It's too hard. I'm just not able to do this. I'm not smart enough, or I'm not experienced enough, or I can't, it's so stressful, I just can't do this. And I imagined calling the administrative support at Norwich University and just saying this, I'm sorry, I have to withdraw. I thought all that, and then I thought, how would I look in the mirror if I did that? How could I face myself? How could I face love? How could I face anything? And that thought scared me far more than the work that's involved. It scared me far more than the feeling of inadequacy or inability or inexperience. The thought of quitting just scared me too much. I knew that if I quit, I just wouldn't ever be the same. And that I would have to eventually return to it, or I would never, ever, ever be completely satisfied. Now, in life, there are times to quit. And I want to be very clear. I'm expressing a principle, but principles are not laws. They're not rules. And they're not necessarily applicable at all times. I'm expressing a principle. that it is not good to give up because it demeans you, it lessens you, it hurts you, it destroys you. Does that mean we should never ever stop, never ever give up? No. There are times when we have to say, you know, this thing just isn't working. And we have to let go. Now, when do we know when to let go? And when do we know when to keep fighting? I'd like to say that I have the definitive answer for that, but I don't. But as I look back, I see three or four variations to that. One is we let go with the intention of returning. For example, my first semester, or quarter actually, at UCSD, pretty much bowled me over, and I was not prepared for it. So I decided to take 6 months off. And I decided that I just wasn't prepared, and I was going to give myself time to prepare, and then I would go back to it. And I did. And I felt really peaceful and really good about that decision. And it turned out to be the best thing for me at the time. So sometimes we just have to say, I need a break from this. And that, as I said, felt right. Now, there are other times when we really, really need to quit. We need to stop. And I think of being in the teaching program, how I really shouldn't have been in it. And they actually, I got kicked out once. I had to drop out a second time because of finances. And I got through the third time, but I didn't really enjoy it. So when do we quit? When we really aren't feeling either joy or a sense of purpose in what we're doing. Now, as I'm going through this History Masters, I feel very much a sense of purpose. It's hard. I won't say that I'm enjoying it all the time, though even with all of it, I kind of am enjoying it. But it's not fun. But I feel very strongly a sense of purpose and the need to finish this, just as I felt in the California Conservation Corps. When I was in elementary ed, the program, what I needed to do was adjust it. And I didn't know this at the time, but what I needed to do was look at it and say, you know, I'm really not going to be a good elementary school teacher, and I need to go to my professors and figure out a different plan because it's just not going to work. And I didn't know this, but all the signs were there, and I just didn't pay attention because I had my mind so set that I was actually, I wound up losing a lot of years. So sometimes it's okay to maybe not completely quit, but just adjust the plan somehow and figure out what is it I'm really trying to do here. Sometimes it's just okay to quit. And that's what I did when I finally did get into elementary ed, and I did it for 9 years. And I pretty much hated almost every bit of it. I had some good moments, but for the most part, it was not fun. I didn't do well. I had problems with people. It was just an awful, awful experience for me. And I actually remember halfway through it deciding to quit and feeling so happy. And that's an indicator. It's a real indicator. If you decide to end something and you just feel this huge, huge sense of relief, that's an indicator. I remember when I decided to quit teaching, I started reading again, I started exercising again, and I just felt great. But then I chickened out and I stayed with it a few more years and made myself miserable for a few more years. But sometimes your spirit will just tell you, and your actions will tell you. Again, as I said, when I decided to quit, I just felt like colors came back and life started feeling worth living again. It was just an amazing change. So sometimes it is okay to quit. And sometimes sometimes you just have to keep pushing through. Now, I'm going to say this. Difficulty is not an indicator of right or wrong actions. In other words, if I make a choice and I have difficulties, that doesn't mean I made the bad choice. It doesn't mean I made the wrong choice. It simply means I made a choice and difficulties came as a result of that choice. Had I made a different choice, difficulties would have come as a result of that choice. We can't allow difficulties to make the decision for us. What do we allow to make the decision for us? Well, again, I think our hearts and our spirits tell us. When I quit teaching, the day I actually finally did quit teaching elementary school, I felt so happy. I felt so light. And I felt good about that decision for months. I still feel good about it, but I mean for months, I felt like I'd gotten out of prison. And I kept saying, it's the whole world out here. I just literally felt like I'd gotten out of prison, and there were all these new options and alternatives and people and things that I wasn't even aware of, and it was wonderful. So that was good, but and then eventually difficulties came with that too. But difficulties are not necessarily an indicator of the right or wrong choice. They're just difficulties, and they're going to come no matter what you choose. I almost got a master's in marriage and family counseling, and I chose not to, and I wound up getting a master's in education. And I look back on that decision, and I know that had I gone with the master's in family counseling, I would have had some real benefits. First of all, I would have been really, really, really happy. I know that. I would have loved it. I would have loved the courses. I would have loved the work. I wouldn't have even minded doing the internship. I know I would have been really, really happy. But I also know it would have created some financial difficulties because I would have been taking courses that weren't related to my job, and when I got the master's, it wouldn't have counted for me as an educator. So I wound up getting a master's in education, and I hated it. I hated pretty much every minute of it. I didn't like any of it. But what happened was when I completed it, I got this huge pay raise, and it helped me financially, and it created some advantages in my life. So if I had to do it all over again, knowing what I know now, what would I do? I probably would go with the counseling degree, but I would have also realized there would have been a cost to it. And I would have been willing, I think, to take on that cost. And I'm willing to take on the cost of what I'm doing now, even if my paper was late. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to get started and keep going. All right. My time is just about up. So if you need a counselor, a coach, a mentor, a speaker, a writer, an editor, or anything else I can do, and when I say counselor, I don't mean professional counselor, but if you need any of those things, give me a call, 619-672-0378. Give me a call. I look forward to it.